Greetings to all of those who are joining together with the St. Paul community to take some time aside to reflect on God's word and work in our lives today. We all come together as we begin our gathering in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the profound reminder that even the smallest acts of kindness are honored by your kingdom. Open my eyes today to the people right around me who are in need of encouragement and help. Give me the grace to act as your hands and feet, remembering that when I welcome and serve others, I am welcoming you. Help me not to overlook the small things, but to be a faithful presence in my community. We pray this in your holy and hope-filled name. Amen. And our reading from today comes from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 40 and 42. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of a righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of those little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." Not too long ago, there was this trend that went around social media called girl math. And for those of you who haven't heard about this trend, it's not girl math in the way that 3 girls plus 4 girls would equal 7 girls. Girl math is a more playful way that people called out the senseless and unsound math that girls used and widely accepted as being true. Like the idea of when you go shopping, if you use cash or a gift card, you didn't really spend any money because it didn't come out of your bank account. Girl math. Or if you buy something and then later return it, you essentially made money. Girl math. Or if you see something that you want to buy and it's on sale and you don't buy it, you're losing money by not buying it. Girl math. Like I said, it was the senseless, unsound way of thinking, but girls and many others just laughed along because they all could agree and they could see this logic that actually was behind this math. And while the trend started with just girl math, it also grew to begin poking fun at other groups of people in the way that they used math that only made sense to them. Like at the end of a football game when there are 6 minutes left, but it actually takes 13 minutes for the game to be over. Boy math. Or if you take a treat and you break it into two, it doesn't actually make it 2 different treats. It's dog math. And as this began to grow and gain traction across the internet, it finally hit the church and captured God math. The story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the 2 loaves, with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, that was God math. Or this emphasis that the last shall be first and the first shall be last, God math. Or the way that God is 3 in 1 and 1 in 3, God math. And this trend caught on and it held traction for a while because it highlighted this ridiculous and senseless logic that in many ways was actually universally accepted as a way of thinking. And I was reminded of this trend as I read and reflected on the gospel text for this week, where we hear Jesus' closing remarks to his disciples on their commissioning. Over the past few weeks, we've spent some time hearing Matthew's account of Jesus' commissioning of his disciples. A number of weeks ago, we started at the beginning of the chapter where Matthew told us who all of the disciples were and began laying out this mission that Jesus had for all of them. And then last week, we heard of the warnings of persecution that the disciples would face as they followed that call. Jesus told them who they had to fear and who they should not fear. Jesus laid out the reality of the life that they will follow into this call as a follower of Christ. And then this week we have just a quick closing of this commission where Jesus talks about the rewards and the blessings that will come from living in this way. Throughout all of his commission, Jesus keeps saying things that seem to be counteracting what he had just said before. It seems to be backwards, sometimes even disconnected. The logic behind what he's saying seems to be all over the place. Jesus tells the disciples to go travel into the kingdom, going to the lost sheep, to proclaim the good news, to cure the sick, to cast out those who have demons, but to do all of this without any pay. Jesus tells them not to take anything from anyone, not to take excessive or anything with them, to have that prepared. He tells them that along the way, they'll be cared for. They'll be taken care of. They'll be tended to as they go about this mission. And Jesus tells them when they find those places where they're cared for and where they're loved, where they can proclaim the gospel, they're to leave their peace and their blessings in those places. But Jesus then also warns that as they go about doing this, being sent out, they themselves are sent like sheep into a wolf's den. He warns that they will be disliked and captured, that they will be put on trial in the name of the Lord. But then Jesus again says not to fear this, not to worry about what they will say in those times of trial, that God will give them the words that they need. Right after Jesus tells them that all of this may and will likely happen, he goes on to tell them to have no fear, to not worry about anyone or anything. He tells the disciples that they are known and loved and valued as children of God, and as long as they continue to acknowledge Christ and live this godly life, they will too be acknowledged before God. Jesus tells them to live this way, living into God's call for each of them, even if it's not always going to be peaceful. He warns them there's times they'll have to walk away from family and friends, times they may lose that community support around them where they feel like they walk the path or carry the cross alone. But Jesus promises them that even when they feel at their lowest, even when they feel those things, they gain life in the name of Christ. They're loved by God. And then we get to our point today where we hear of those promises and rewards that Jesus tells us about at the end of his commission. And as we listen to what Jesus is saying in this blessing, the logic and the math of it all finally begins to fall into place. It's no longer this senseless Jesus or kingdom knowledge where loss becomes gain and vulnerability becomes strength, but it instead turns into this universally shared and widely accepted knowledge and way of thinking that shows welcoming others becomes a way of welcoming God. Reminds us that as we love others, we're showing that love of God. As we welcome those who come in Christ's name, we're welcoming Christ himself, and we're welcoming the one who sent Christ. As we listen to the voices that God puts into our lives, we listen to the voice of God. As we follow those who are righteous, we ourselves become righteous. As we give to others from the abundance that we have, God gives us even more abundance than we ever would need. And the best part of all of this is that the logic of it all, this kingdom math, this God math, it's not something that we have to have perfectly figured out or be able to pinpoint down. We don't have to explain it. It doesn't have to make perfect sense to us. What we know is that as we live into God's call, as we listen to these words that Jesus leads us, as we follow the path that the Spirit guides us on, we do so knowing that God's already got that other math figured out for all of us. And God brings that math to us in the promises and the blessings, the reassurance and the love that is so freely given to all. Amen. Join me again in a word of prayer. We pray for the church, all of creation, and the whole people of God. Almighty God, we pray for the whole church as we gather together to share in your many blessings. We ask that you continue holding us in the promises of love and forgiveness as we follow your call to be the church. Be with us as the times ahead are hard, and when the race in front of us feels like it is hard. Creator God, we rejoice in all aspects of your grand creation. We ask for your guidance as we tend to the land around us in the midst of climate and environmental changes. May you be present as you also bring us to see beauty in the way creation honors and responds to your works in our world today. We ask that you continue using creation to reveal your grandness to us. Protecting God, we pray for the whole family of Christ. We ask that you continue to comfort those who feel alone and grieve, that you heal those who are sick, that you let your love be felt in all of those who feel unworthy and unloved. Teach us what it means to love those around us the same way Jesus loved others throughout his own ministry. We trust in your promises to us, and we go out in faith with the gift, blessings, and promises that you freely give so that we may share that good news with all. We pray these prayers in the silent ones of our hearts in your holy name. Amen. Let us go in peace now to serve the Lord. Amen.